2,000 years ago, Jesus came into Jerusalem. He came to Bethany, and then he came into Jerusalem, and he rode, he got on a donkey. The Bible says a colt whereon never a man sat. And what that says, tells me as a cowboy, is that Jesus was the greatest cowboy that ever lived. Got on this colt whereon never a man sat. And as he was coming through Jerusalem, do you know what they said? They said, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And they put palm leaves down in front of this donkey, and the donkey didn't buck Jesus off. Because Jesus was, as he is still today, the master of every situation. And in that time, they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And Hosanna means God with us. Let me tell you something. Make no mistake. The greatest privilege that you'll ever have, that I'll ever have in my life, is to have the presence of God in me. You see, that's the reason that Jesus gave his life, so that we could have access. Before that, man had to make sacrifices and man had to go through a high priest so that they could have access to God. Now we have access to God. Why? Because Jesus, the ultimate supreme sacrifice, the one who knew no sin, took on our sin, and he became sin, the Bible says, because he had never sinned before. He was the perfect sacrifice. And when he came into Jerusalem, I'm going to tell you something, there was a victory there that happened. And that victory happened for you. It happened for me that day. It happened for all mankind. And the scripture says, "For as many as who have received him, to them God gave them power to become the sons of God." That might want to make you jump up out of your bed, that God gave you the power to become adopted into his kingdom. I don't know what you've heard before about anything that has to do with God, but let me tell you something. Make no mistake, God is a loving and a giving God. And for that, I serve him. Now listen, today we've got a great testimony for you. And a guy named Randy Dempsey comes to church here. I'm going to talk to you this morning. The title of my message is, "That's Not Fair." I don't know if you've ever said that before, just like, "That's not fair." I think a lot of times we say that in our world today. But before I preach to you, just for this brief time, I want you to hear this testimony because it's really powerful.
Well, last week, I got a letter from the IRS, and they want me to come in and verify my identity because my Social Security number hasn't been used in over 30 years. 28 years of that was incarceration for an addiction that was just too overpowering for that old man. It was something that I couldn't fight alone. It took 28 years of my life. I've never been out in freedom no more than 5 months at a time in between them. This last time I did 14 years in federal, and I got out and I come to my sister's. And my sister, well, one of her demands was that I come to the Cowboy Church. And I fought against her a little while. You know, "I've never done churches very well." She said, "No, you just come one time to this. You've never been to nothing like it before." So I did, and she was right. The moment I walked in the door, I felt comfortable. The reason why I'm sitting here today is because I felt comfortable when I walked in that church. It was like, I just felt like I was supposed to be here, which made me agree to come back a second time. And when I came back that second time is when I raised my hand. And I let Jesus, I didn't even know I raised my hand until I really didn't. When I opened my eyes up, I put my hands up. So I knew then that I was called. And he said, "Come on up," I said, "That's me." Here we go. 100% changed. It changed my way of thinking, it changed my way of living. I know now if there's something that's overpowering for me, what I did is I found my armor right there. I found my shield against all the problems I've had in my life that I've never been able to fight against. When a thought comes in my mind now, what I do is I say, what would Jesus do? And they don't have a chance against that. And I'll never let that go. Yep. I know now that I don't have to worry about none of that stuff no more. I don't know if you've seen my baptism video, but that old man's gone.
How sweet is that? The old man's gone. One of the things that I think is so amazing about God's grace is that God takes us where we are, and He meets us where we are. So many people think that you have to get good, or you have to be a good man or a better man in order for God to find you. But I'm telling you what, wherever you are, it's a great place to be, because that's where God found Randy Dempsey. And I want to talk to you this morning about that's not fair. And there's a parable in Matthew chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, there's a Bible app called Bible Gateway, and you can get on that, and you can look in Matthew chapter 20. And I want to talk to you about that for a minute. Before I get into that, a couple of years ago, I went to with some friends of ours. We went to Alaska, and we went fishing. And we went fishing for salmon. The salmon were running, and where you snag the salmon. We'd never done that before, and we thought, man, that'd be great. And then we went out into the bay and fished for halibut. Well, they told us that the fishing wasn't that great at that point in time, and we couldn't help but be a little bit disappointed, but we kind of felt like, we're going to go because, you know, you fishermen, you don't ever catch anything unless you put your hook in the water, right? So we went out there, but before we did, the lodge that we were staying in, the proprietor, he told us, he said, don't take any bananas on the boat. And we're like, why? He said, it's bad luck. And it was so bad that they even had a picture of a banana on the side of the wall, and it said, no bananas in the boat. I mean, they were serious about the bananas not being in the boat. So we're like, we don't really believe in that. We're not superstitious. I know a lot of people are, but I tell superstitious people that stuff only works if you believe it. If you believe it'll mess you up, it probably will. We just don't believe it. So we go out there and we kind of honor what everybody say. We don't take no bananas with us. And so we're out on the bank, and we're just snagging these salmon like crazy. And people, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's just people standing on side of the river. And our guide, we're dragging them in. Our guide moves us up where these other people are. And we just keep snagging these salmon in. It's like crazy. And we go back and we catch our limit. And when we're cleaning our fish, you could read people's mind. They were walking by there. And what they were thinking, I'm sure, that's not fair. I can't believe that they caught all those fish right where we were. Then they moved up and they caught the fish. Well, we went through the week. We caught our limit every day, believe it or not. And what we realized was that God was just blessing us because He just wanted to. The guys that were with us, they said they're glad they brought the preacher, but I knew it wasn't me. I knew I'm not that good. I knew it was God. So we're the last day we go and we're fishing for king salmon, and you get in this boat, and there's boats right next to each other, and we're dragging in these king salmon, and just as we pull one in, my friend that was sitting right next to me, and we have these boats on both sides of us, my friend, he pulls out a banana and he says, anybody want a banana? And you could have seen their eyes just like, it's like, I mean, they was like, he brought a banana and they still caught fish. That's not fair. Well, here's it. Here we have in Matthew chapter 20, we have some people that said the same thing. Jesus, he was on his way up to Bethany. It was the week before he went to the cross. And he told his disciples a parable. And what he said was that there's a parable told about a vineyard owner. He owned a vineyard, and he wanted to go get workers for the vineyard. So he got up early in the morning, and he went, and he got the workers that were standing around waiting for a job, and he brought them into the vineyard. And then it says at 12 o'clock, he went and got some more workers for the vineyard, and he brought them in. But the first workers, he told them that he would pay them a denarius a day. In other words, a full day's wages he was willing to pay if they would come and work for a full day's, give a full day's labor. And so, and then the ones that came at 12 o'clock, Jesus said that he would pay them accordingly. And then Jesus went, and he, at 5 o'clock, at quitting time almost, he went and got some more workers for the vineyard, and he said that he would pay them. So when it came time to pay them, he called the ones that came in at 5 o'clock, and he paid them while the other ones that came in at 9 o'clock were watching. And he gave the ones that came in, listen to this, he gave the ones that came in at 5 o'clock the same amount of money that he promised to the ones who came in at 9 o'clock. And he gave the same amount of money to the ones that came in at 3 o'clock. The same amount of money to the ones that came in at 12 o'clock. And the ones that came at 9 o'clock, they were standing in line thinking, man, we're fixing to get more money than we thought we was going to get. And God gave them the same amount of money as he gave to the ones that came in at 5 o'clock. And the workers, in essence, they said, that's not fair. What we have to be careful about is we, as human beings, trying to tell God, the great creator of this universe, that he's not fair. Guys like Randy Dempsey, the guy that just did the testimony, been in prison for 18 years. The Apostle Paul, he was a murderer of Christians before he was converted, before God came into his life. And people look at him, and God could, and people could look at him and say, hey, that's not fair for you to get to go to heaven, for you to be able. And but here's what Jesus said. Make no mistake. This is what he said. He said, the kingdom of God is like this. If you want to see the kingdom of God, what we think is fair and what we think isn't fair doesn't line up with what God says is fair. And if we're not careful, what we'll do, we will try to redefine everything in the book. And we'll try to redefine everything to fit our thinking. Do you know that God is not up in heaven looking down at you or looking down at me and going, I never thought of that. Maybe y'all know. He knows everything. He's God. He's the creator. Let me tell you something. It takes more faith to believe in God as the creator of the universe than it does to believe in, what do you call it? Evolution. I mean, like, you think about the Big Bang, like, you ever bust up a wristwatch and then expect it to come together? It's not going to happen. Greater things, the Bible says, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We weren't just little amoebas swimming in the sea, and then we turned into a monkey with a hanging from the tree, and then wound up being a monkey with a PhD. No, it just didn't work that way. It's just not like that. God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. And you might be asking yourself the question today, why is it that we have this sickness in the world? Why do we have the virus in the world? Why are people dying? Let me tell you something. This is not anything that's uncommon to our world. Because back in the beginning, you remember Adam and Eve, when sin came into this world, sickness and evil came into the world. But it's not always going to be this way. I'm just hoping that somebody's going to hear this, that there is hope for you, because God is not going to allow these things to happen forever. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, because Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We sang about it. We sing
The lighthouse, there's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks. There's nothing worse than walking around in the dark. Years ago, I had a barn, and we didn't have any lights in the barn, and I was always tripping over something. And you know, when the light comes on, it will either be a blessing to you, or you'll say, turn that light off. It's hurting my eyes. Now, so my question to you is, are you offended by the light, or are you blessed by the light? And then we sang that old Hank Williams song, I Saw the Light. What happened? What are we saying? We're saying that Jesus, he is the light, and he comes in and, like it or not, he exposes who we really are. Some people don't really want to know who they are. I don't always like it, but I was challenged a year ago to pray the prayer and ask God, what deception have I bought into? Because you see, the scripture says that Satan is the father of deception. That means he's better at it than anybody else. And if we are deceived by it, we don't really know what the truth is because we've been deceived. You with me? But when we pray and we ask God, God, what deception have I bought into? Because we've got a lot of turmoil in our world today. We've got a lot of people blaming a lot of people. My goodness, we got people blaming people for the virus. It's your fault we have this virus. Let me tell you something. Viruses happen. They just happen. But I want to say this, that God is still in control, but he is only in control of your life. Y'all don't leave me now. Stay hooked. God is only in control of your life if you invite him to have control of your life. God will never take control of your life unless you give it to him. We say in this world, we say, well, God's in control. Well, he's in control, but we have to give him control. Ultimately, yes, definitely, God is in control because the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. Let me ask you something about what do you value? What is your value system? Because I dare say that God's value system is different than our world's value system. We put values on pickups and homes and cars and houses and church buildings. But the Bible says that God doesn't dwell in buildings made by man's hands, but that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how can that be that I am a temple that God lives in? You see, in the Old Testament, you had to go through a high priest in order to pray or in order to have access to God. And you would go into the temple and the high priest would go into the holies of holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he would walk in there and he had to be pure and clean before God in order to offer sacrifices for the sins of the nation of Israel. And there was a veil that had 12 veils, which represented each tribe from the tribe of Israel, the tribe of Jacob of Israel. And he would come into that, past that curtain and come into the holies of holies and offer sacrifices, but only once a year. And nobody in the whole camp had access to God. What happened? And this is why I get so excited about Easter. And people said, well, we're not going to be able to have Easter anymore. Easter's on. Well, listen, the coronavirus doesn't cancel Easter. It doesn't cancel the resurrection. Let me tell you something. You can't cancel the resurrection. The resurrection already happened, and it continues to happen because it's just like Cody said, we're all people under construction. None of us are perfect. We need a Savior. And when Jesus died on the cross, and we're going to celebrate this next week, but when Jesus died on the cross and he gave his life, the sinless sacrifice, I'll never understand that kind of love that God gave for you and for me. The sinless sacrifice, when he died on the cross, The Bible says that the veil of the temple, those 12 veils, were torn in two and released the presence of God so that we could have a God. We don't serve a God who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but we can go directly and boldly to the throne of God. We can come into his presence and say, God, I need you. I need your help. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. God, please minister to me and be my Savior, be my Lord, because I know none of these things, heaven and earth, have passed away. Things are always changing in our world. And we can't put our faith in something that doesn't have a firm foundation. I'm thankful that God is a solid rock and he's the foundation that we lean on. That's good preaching. It's not my notes, but it's good preaching. Access to heaven is so much more about relationship than it is a religion. It's so much more about having. See, man wants to create rules and religion, and God wants to create a relationship with you. And in that relationship, you will learn. You see, the only reason that God doesn't want us to sin because it's bad for us. It's not like God's up there with a ball peen hammer wanting to hit you over the head every time you sin. That's not the way it is. He's up there saying, hey, this is the way. And Jesus said it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Why? Because he was a supreme sacrifice. There's only one name given under heaven whereby man must be saved, and it's the name of Jesus. Why? Because only Jesus, the only perfect, sinless, selfless one to ever walk on the face of this earth, gave his life so that we could have eternal life. I'm going to tell you what, I've been a Christian since I was 4 years old. I've gave my heart to the Lord. I knelt down at a piano bench in Stoneham, Colorado, and I gave my life to Jesus when I was 4 years old. And I used to think that I was a pretty holy guy. I mean, like, I'm so spiritual. And I thought that and then I asked God to reveal to me in my life who I am. And my holiness compared to God's holiness, hey, listen, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags when it's compared to the righteousness of God. And you might be saying, you might be going, well, I'm a good guy. Well, listen, there's a lot of good guys, but we're not that good. We need God. We need his saving grace. We need purpose in our lives. And a lot of these guys in the parable, they were upset. The Apostle Paul, he murdered Christians. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You might be saying, well, I've never murdered anybody. Well, I haven't either, but I sure need Jesus. That's right. I haven't done this. Listen, it's not about what you don't do. We think that we're going to get to heaven by the things that we don't do. Well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. It's not about what we don't do. Y'all with me? It's about what we do. And the Bible says if we'll accept Christ as our personal Savior, he said that we have all sinned. This is what the guys in the parables didn't understand. It said that they needed a Savior. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he also said if we would confess our sin, that he would be faithful, I love that word, and justice, he would be just to forgive us of all, everybody say all of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that's what I've done in my life. Does that mean that I'm perfect? No. Does that mean Pastor Jason's perfect? No. Does that mean Cody or Jay or Jody, does that mean they're perfect or Darla? No. You? None of us are perfect. Oh, except Jesus. That's right. You see, a lot of people like to make up a lot of religions in our world. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a jillion religions out there. God's not looking for more religions.
He's looking for relationships with people. And that's why I'm going to say, no matter where you're at today, God loves you. And he wants the best for you. I realized when I was about 14 years old that I was an undisciplined boy. And my dad agreed with me because back in the day, you may not be one of these types of guys, but I grew up in a home where they'd give you, like my parents would give me like whippings with a belt on the seat of my, they never abused me, but they gave me, my dad's name was Jasper, and he was just back in the day, they had his name on the back of his belt, and I had backwards Jaspers on my rear end. Well, I'd get a lot of whippings because I was just always kind of like, I guess, rebellious. And my dad, he's like, Randy, this isn't right. It's not right for me to keep whipping you like this. And I'm tired of whipping you. And when he said that, I was like, cool. I'm tired of being whooped. And then he said something that caught me by surprise. He said, Randy, I'm not going to whip you anymore. And I was like, whoa, this is a great day right here. It's a great day. He said, from now on, he said, you're going to whip me when you're bad. I thought, in my rebellious state, I thought, well, you're making the rules. So the next day, obviously, you guessed it, I was bad again. And my dad, he did like he's always done. We went to the bedroom and he took his belt off and he handed me his belt. And he got down on his hands and knees and he handed me that belt and he said, Randy, I want you to whip me. And I'm like, now, I've been taught all my life that I needed to respect my dad. Here's my dad on his knees, and he says, Randy, whip me. I know you've been bad, but I want you to whip me. And so I started to whip him, and then he kind of yelled at me. He said, Randy, whip me. So I just kind of tapped him a little bit, and he said, Randy, I want you to give me a whipping because I want you to know what it feels like to have to give you a whipping. I don't want to do it anymore, and I'm tired of whipping you, and it hurts me to have to whip you. And I just threw the belt down. I said, Dad, I can't whip you. I can't do it. You can whip me all you want, but I can't do it. And Dad got up and he walked out of the bedroom. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, Randy, that's why I sent Jesus to take the whipping for you. You see, he paid a debt I couldn't pay. I owed a debt. I couldn't pay the debt. My sin, I could never get good enough. I needed somebody to take my sin away. And so Jesus knew that. I never could understand why Jesus would go to the cross, why God would send his only begotten son. Then I understood that God, all-powerful God, could raise his son up on the third day. He knew that, but he knew that God, that God, meaning Jesus, his own son, would have to give his life so that I could have eternal life because God is a just God. And Jesus took the whipping and Jesus made it so that I could come into his presence. And I could have access to God. I didn't have to go through a high priest, but I could go directly to the throne. And that's why I pray every day, because it's a privilege to be able to pray. It's a privilege to know God, to have him live in my heart. He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I had to have somebody take my sin away. Is it fair?
You want to talk about fair? That's not fair for Jesus. But God doesn't judge fairness the way you and I judge it. That's the point of the parable. God judges it as a just God, and he has a plan for each and every one of us. You think about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, he's over there. One thief is bad-mouthing Jesus, and the other thief over there, he's like, hey, listen, we deserve this. We have this coming because we've done this. Jesus hadn't done anything. And Jesus looks over at the thief on the cross that has a repentant heart, and he said this. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Was it fair? I imagine the thief, hey, that ain't fair. But this guy had the bad attitude. He had a bad heart. This guy had a humble heart, a teachable heart, and a repenting heart. And he said, God, I know I deserve this. And Jesus said, hey, I see your heart. My challenge to you today, let Jesus see your heart. Let him see your heart. Don't be ashamed of your past. And don't be too proud to say, I need a Savior. Because the truth is, we all need a Savior. And why do we need a Savior? It's because of God's grace and because of his mercy. It's just because of his grace. So today, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you've never accepted him. Maybe the Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So today, I'd like to make this available. I'd like to help you accept Christ as your Savior simply by inviting him to come into your life, to come into your heart, and to begin this relationship with him. That's really why we do church every Sunday and throughout the week as well. But I just want to challenge you, if you've never accepted Christ and you realize that God loves you like you've never been able to comprehend, let me tell you something, you'll never be able to fully comprehend God's love for you. So today, if you'd like to accept him as your Savior, I want to help you do that. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. I want to help you confess with your mouth. And I just want to say this, if there's families that's watching today, or you're watching with your friend, I just challenge everybody in the room to repeat this prayer out loud. Maybe somebody's in the room with you that needs to do this. We want to help them along the way. And so I just want to help you pray. And so please repeat after me. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, shoot us an email or there's a form you can fill out. We'd love to send you a Bible if we could get your address. We want to give you a free Bible because we love you and we appreciate it. Now, listen, Cody and the band's going to come back up and sing. Come on up, guys. there's a little story told about There's a little story told about a guy that he went to heaven, and he asked God. He said, I want to get into heaven, and of course, St. Peter's at the gate. We say this with all of our little stories, and St. Peter says, well, you have to have 100 points in order to get into heaven. And he said, tell me what you've done. So the guy goes, well, he says, I was a deacon in the church, and I taught Sunday school class, and I went to church faithfully and paid my tithe every week. And St. Peter says, well, that's worth 1 point. And that guy looked at me like, I can't believe that's just 1 point.
So he said, what else have you done? He said, well, I lived with my wife for 25 years, 30 years, and I was a good father, and I was good in the community, and I gave to community affairs and everything, and I just helped everybody out. And the guy goes, St. Peter says, well, that's worth another point. And the guy is just like, I can't believe it. I just got 2 points for all that? And he says, yeah. He said, well, I can see right now, the only way I'm going to get to heaven is by God's grace. And St. Peter looked at him and said, that's worth 98 points, because that's all you need is God's grace, and it's by his grace.
Well, before I play this, I'd like to say something. This is not going to be a testimonial like you saw at the beginning of the service. This is not a look at me and how far I've come type situation. You know, a lot of people have been to my shows and my concerts, and you've heard me say at different points in the night, I want all my glory for my career to go to my Lord and Savior. And that's not something we do for attention. That's not something we do as a gimmick. That's just something that's been a conviction on my heart. And the reason why is not because my walk is so great. It's that I struggle every day with a lot of the same things that you struggle with. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, as Pastor Randy was talking, about those that are watching at home that have maybe never thought about this. I thought that I lived pretty good. I thought that I had a foundation underneath my feet that it was going to get me the rest of the way for a long time. And it turns out I didn't. And I had to really apply myself and start. Like Randy said, it's really hard when you ask God who you really are, because it's kind of hard to face. And I'm sure a lot of people out there watching that don't normally watch the service and they tuned in because I'm playing have their own perception of who I am and what my life is like. And I'm just going to tell you, I struggle. I struggle with a lot of things. And I wrote these lyrics down because I felt the need to. And this song may be for me today, but there's a chance it might be for you too. And it's called By Your Grace. And I feel like the only reason that I'm here today is the only reason I have my wife, my children, my career is by his grace. And it's very overwhelming for a guy like me to know that my daily failure is what gives him the most admonishment, the most praise, because he gets to be the guy that fixes me every day. And it is hard. And I hope somebody out there feels what I'm saying and is struggling with the same things. Just know that you're not by yourself.
Well, I'm aware of everything that's wrong with me, but still you accept me anyway. And I live with the past I can't get past, 'cause it still haunts me. So I'm asking for the courage to make a change. By your grace I have hope. You've already paid every debt I owe. Please take my chains and make me see that by your grace I've been set free. Seek you day by day. Let only you define just where I stand. Let me not take for granted all the depths of your forgiveness, 'cause the only way I'm gonna be a better man is already paid every debt I owe. And please take my chains and make me see that by your grace I've been set free. I've got a long way to go, but Lord, there's not a step I'm gonna take when you're not with me. I've got a long way to go, but Lord, I know there's not a step I'm gonna take when you're not with me. I've got a I've been set free.